Hello, this is Pass Free, reaching out to the members of EBC3, coming to you live and direct from the 10-10-10 with another Wednesday Bible study. Let me say up front, members and friends, that our lesson will come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 4 through verse 15. That's Luke 8, 4 through 15. And the title of the Bible study today is Dig Deeper. Before we get into the Bible study, let me remind you that if you have birthdays or anniversaries for Sundays, please get them into the church office by Wednesday of the week prior to that Sunday. So if you haven't done it yet, please do it today. Also, on this Sunday, our youth and young adults ministry will lead us in worship, so pray for them. Next Wednesday, we will resume prayer meeting on Zoom, and we will email the Zoom information to you. The WMU will be in charge, and they will be doing the Mary Hill Davis program. And next Thursday at noon, we will resume our noonday Bible study, and we will email the members of the Senior Adult Ministry group with the Zoom information. So please pray about that and join us for those Wednesday and Thursday activities. God bless you. Let me read for you the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 4 through verse 15 from the New International Version. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. The other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. We all know this parable. It's called the parable of the sower, and it's a very powerful story. Now, before we launch into the text, let me say something about my girl Serena Williams. Now, I'm not preaching on Sunday, so I can't use Serena in my introduction or my conclusion on this Sunday. But Serena Williams is playing in the U.S. Open Tennis Championships, and she is in the quarterfinals right now. And she's not doing so well in the quarterfinals, but she is competing against women almost half her age. We all know that she has skills. She has won 23 major championships. We all know that she's a fighter. We've seen over and over again Serena be down a set or down a break and come charging back to win the match. But at this stage in her career, she needs more than skills and a fighting spirit. She's 38, almost 38 years of age. Two things that weigh heavily upon her quest for another championship are fitness and stamina. To win, Serena has to be able to go the distance. She has to put in the effort for the entire match. At Serena's age, she has to dig deeper than her opponents and deeper than the internal voices that might tell her, you don't have enough energy, you don't have enough left in the tank. She doesn't have, at this championship, the benefit of fans in the stand to cheer her on. Sometimes when a player is down or is losing and the fans really like the player, the fans will keep on cheering and keep pushing the player, and that will give the player enough incentive to work harder and to go on to win the match. Well, Serena doesn't have that because of COVID-19. There are no fans in the stand. So sometimes your crew isn't there to pull you through. And it's just a lesson to let us know that the path to success isn't a bed of roses. It requires talent, effort, tenacity, and perseverance. And so I don't know what the outcome will be of the quarterfinal match that Serena is in. Maybe I'll find out after I finish my Bible study today. And really, I don't care because Serena's had a stellar career and has done a wonderful job. Anything else she does to me is just gravy. But I reference her story and her situation because it demonstrates my point about digging deeper. Sometimes when things get harder for us, sometimes when the obstacles begin to mount up, we have to dig deeper in order to be successful and in order to overcome the obstacles. And sometimes if we want something really badly, we have to dig deeper and work harder in order to achieve it. And that's part of the lesson in Jesus' parable of the sower. Let me say something about this parable. First, we know that the sower is God. God is a person who is scattering the seed. And of course, the seed is the word of God. It represents entrance to the kingdom of God. It represents a connection with God. So God is the sower who scatters the seed, and the seed that God scatters is the word of God. And I think that the places in the parable where the seed are scattered represent the recipients of the word of God. So Jesus is using this parable to teach about how people actually receive the kingdom, or how people actually receive the word of God and how they respond when they receive it. It's interesting that Jesus says in the parable to the disciples, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, to the disciples, those in the kingdom, so that those but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. So Jesus wants his disciples to learn some lessons, and he uses parables for the crowds because he knows the crowds are not yet a part of the kingdom of God. Let's look at the story a little bit more closely. Let's look at how the recipients fare with the word of God. One thing you'll notice is that the sower goes out to scatter the seed. It's as if the sower is scattering a seed for a potential crop. And the seed falls all over. It falls on the ground. It falls on the rocky soil. It falls among the thorns. And it falls all over. That sort of suggests that God sows the seed indiscriminately. That when God decides to extend an invitation to the kingdom of God, God sends that word out everywhere indiscriminately, so that anyone has the opportunity or the potential to be a part of God's kingdom. The seed is scattered everywhere. So when God is scattering the word of God, it's scattered everywhere. It covers many places. So God is not just sowing the word just in certain places, in certain cities, in certain communities, among certain groups. God is sowing the word and scattering the seed indiscriminately so that everybody has an opportunity for access to the word of God. Another thing that you'll notice about the story is that the seed that is scattered is subject to the realities of life. And I think that's an interesting point. So we see in the parable that sometimes the seed gets trampled. So it was scattered on the ground and folk walked on it and crushed it, trampled it. Sometimes in life, when God sows the word of God, sometimes people don't appreciate what God is doing, and they just walk all over it. They just step all over it, crush it, and so the seed sometimes gets trampled. That's a reality of life. Sometimes what we think is potential gets messed up, gets stepped on, gets trampled. And sometimes the birds eat the seeds. In the parable, the seed was sown on the ground, and people trampled on it, crushed it. And the bird said, oh, this is a good opportunity for us. It's already crushed for us. Let's go and eat the meat of the seed, and let's eat the seed up. So sometimes before you even get an opportunity to sow the seed in your life or to sow the word in your life, somebody swoops down or swoops in and takes that seed and eats it, preventing you from being able to receive it. I like this thing about the birds of the air sort of coming and taking advantage of the opportunity to get to the seed, because it reminds me of another story that Jesus shares about a man who sets out to build a house. Some men who set out to build a house. One built his house with straw. One built his house with stones. And the men have the opportunity to build their houses as they choose. But then the elements also are given freedom. The wind blows, the rain falls, and the wind and the rain beat upon those houses. And because the elements have the same freedom as the men, the outcome is drastically different. The house that is built with straw is blown down. The house that is built on a solid foundation and built with stone is able to withstand the wind and the rain. So that's a lesson for us, because God gives us an opportunity, but the reality of life is that there are other forces in life that also take advantage of those opportunities, and sometimes the birds eat the seed. And then sometimes the seed falls in places without sufficient water supply, without sufficient moisture. You see in the parable that some fell on the soil, but there was not enough moisture. It takes moisture to be able to for the seeds to germinate and to break open and then to take root in the soil. So sometimes it falls into a place where the earth is shallow, where the earth is barren, where there's not enough moisture to give the seeds what the seeds need to be able to thrive and to be able to grow. And that's just one of the realities of life. We don't control when we are born. We don't control where we are born. We don't control the circumstances in which we are brought into this world. And sometimes, even with the kingdom of God, we can't control where the word of God comes to us. And sometimes it comes in a place that is sort of shallow and without sufficient resources. So that's what it says on the surface. That's one of the realities of life. And then sometimes the seed falls among thorns. And in the parable, the thorns grow up and choke the seed and destroy the seed. And what the Bible says, the seed that fell among thorns, it says it fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Oh, so the seed was able to grow, but it grew in an environment that was not hospitable. And it grew in an environment that that caused its own destruction and demise. So the seed plant grew, but it was around plants that were thorns, and those thorny plants choked the seed plants until those seed plants died. That's just one of the realities of life. Sometimes the seed falls among thorns. And then sometimes we see in the parable, the seed falls in good soil, where there's enough soil, there's enough attention, there's enough sunlight, there's enough water for the seed to get germinated, to get implanted in the soil, to begin to grow, to grow up out of the soil and to grow down into the soil and produce good roots. So the realities of life teach us that life happens upon the seed. And while God sows the seed indiscriminately, the seed has to face some of these realities and some of these conditions that sometimes make it difficult for the plant to survive. And it says to us that as recipients of the Word of God, we too face the realities of life. When God sows the Word, God sows it indiscriminately, but we are all in different places in our lives. We all have different circumstances. We all come to the Word with different issues. And the reality is sometimes those places, sometimes those circumstances, and sometimes those issues have an adverse impact upon the Word of God. So it's not just that God sows the seed, it's also how the recipients fare once the seed is sown. And then Jesus' disciples ask him, well, you know, what is this parable about? What does it mean? And that's when Jesus says, as I said earlier, you know, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's the King James Version. But to them, it's given in parables. And so now Jesus is going to explain to his disciples the mystery of the parable of the sower. He's going to give the interpretation. And what his point is, there are various types of reception to the Word of God. When people are encounter God's Word, some receive the Word, they get it, but then they fall victim to the devil, who prevents the Word from igniting faith in their hearts and in their lives. And so what Jesus is basically saying, that the Word is sometimes offered to people, but because they're so entangled with Satan and so entangled with the forces of darkness, the Word doesn't get a chance to take root. The Word doesn't get a chance to thrive because Satan comes in and destroys the Word before it has a chance to ignite faith. That's why one of our core principles with our strategic plan is to be a platform for faith to ignite and grow. That's part of the mission and purpose of the church. It is to help people come to faith and to provide the resources and the tools necessary for not only for that faith to ignite, but also for that faith to take root and for that faith to grow. Because we know that Christians sometimes, when they start out on this Christian journey, are still wrestling with the forces of darkness. And if they don't have the resources of the church and the resources of the Word and the resources of the Spirit, they won't be able to thrive. They won't be able to grow. So sometimes people receive the Word, but they fall victim to the devil, who prevents the Word from igniting faith in their hearts. And then second, sometimes people receive the Word with joy. They're excited. They're happy to get the Word of God. They're happy to get the opportunity to enter the kingdom of God, but they don't cultivate it long enough to build a root system. So they get the Word and they're excited, but they don't spend enough time with it so that the roots can dig down deep into the soil. And so Jesus says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the Word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. And that message, they have no root, means There's not enough time for the seed to germinate. There's not enough time for the seed to become implanted in their hearts and for roots to grow down into the soil. And because of that, when they are tested, they fall away. So it's almost like that parable of the person building the house with straw. When you build the house with the straw and the elements come, the rain and the wind, and they blow upon the house, that's when the house is tested. But because it's not built solidly, it does not stand that test. And similarly, when people receive the word of God with joy and they're excited to be Christians, but they've not had the opportunity or put in the time for a root system to grow under their faith for a good foundation, then the wind begins to blow, the winds of change, the winds of temptation, the winds of struggle. When those winds begin to blow against them, they can't take the test. They can't stand the test, and they are uprooted. They are uprooted by the test. And so sometimes you wonder why some Christians, you say, well, how did they backslide or fall back into the life they lived before they met Christ? Part of the reason is they didn't develop strong enough roots to help them to withstand the test. And then third, some receive the word of God, but the stuff of life, tests and worries and pressure, and the text says riches and the pleasures of life, the stuff of life gets in the way, and they never mature, and the word dies. Now, this is something sort of different. People get the word of God, but it seems like they're still drawn away or attracted by some of the other things around them. They are drawn away by the pressures and the worries of life. They've got too much stuff on their plates, and they don't know how to handle some of the things that happen to them. You know, we're in this pandemic right now. We're being tested by this pandemic to hold on to our faith and maintain our faith. And sometimes, you know, while you're trying to be a Christian, you're also a parent, you're also a spouse, you're also trying to go to school or trying to go to work. And it's a lot to deal with. It's a lot to struggle with. And it's a test that can draw you away from your faith. And sometimes the pleasures of life, the pleasures that, you know, sometimes we're still attracted by stuff that we used to do or just having fun. And while you're, you know, engaged in the pleasures of life, while you're having fun, sometimes you're not paying attention to your faith. Sometimes you're not paying attention to your internal life. Sometimes you're not paying attention to your relationship with God. And Jesus teaches that because you don't pay attention, because you're drawn away by these worries, by these pleasures, and by these riches, that your faith doesn't have enough time to mature. In other words, the word of God needs to grow to maturity. It has to grow into a fully grown plant in order to be able to succeed and in order to be able to thrive. And sometimes the reason we struggle as Christians has to do with spiritual immaturity, has to do with the fact that we're not strong enough in our faith. We're not strong enough in the word of God. We're not strong enough in the spirit of God. We're not strong enough to hold on to our faith. And so some of this other stuff just blows us away. You know, the Bible says about ordination in a sort of implicit way, lay hands on no man suddenly. And it even talks about not receiving a leader who is sort of a novice in the faith. When it says, don't lay hands on someone suddenly, don't ordain somebody, you know, right away. Don't choose a leader who's just a novice in the faith. The point is, when a person is immature spiritually, when a person hasn't grown in the faith, that person will struggle as a leader. That person will struggle and will not be able to bear the challenge of ordination, what God says. Excuse me. And the sad part about immaturity is, according to Jesus, excuse me, the word dies. That immaturity reduces that person to spiritual death. And that's a sad thing, beloved, to have the word of God, to be a part of the kingdom of God, but not put in the work to cultivate your faith to the point that your faith dies, your relationship with God wastes away. And then finally, some receive the word, Jesus says, with a good heart. So they come at it with the right spirit. They come at it with the right intention, the intention to pay attention to the word of God, the intention to pay attention to their relationship with God. And they hold on to the word. Jesus says, some receive the word and they retain it. The word retain means they get a grip on it. They hold on to it. They stick to it. They are steadfast about their commitment. They are steadfast about their relationship with God. And then they work with the word until it grows into a good crop. Now, I see a lot of things in that about digging deeper, because the good soil, as it relates to the word, is not so much about soil as it is about the recipient of the seed, of the word of God. It's what this recipient brings to it. So God sows the seed indiscriminately, but what a person brings to it is important. And Jesus says you got to bring a good heart. You got to bring the right spirit to the word of God. You've got to bring the right commitment. You've got to retain it and hold on. He's talking, when he says retain it, that speaks to commitment. When he says retain it, it also speaks to effort. You got to put in the time. You've got to dig deeper and dig deep enough to cultivate the soil until the seed grows into a mature plant. So we already can see that people receive the word in different ways, and how they receive the word impacts the outcome. So the lesson is about digging deeper. As I said, I don't know what's happening with Serena. By the time I hit through, she might have lost this quarterfinal match. I hope she's digging deeper. I hope she's giving it her all so that she can succeed. But we don't know what's going to happen. But what's involved in digging deeper? The first thing that's involved is having the right spirit. Jesus talks about having a good and a noble and good heart. And so you got to have the right spirit. You have to want the word. You have to want your relationship with God. You have to have the right intentions about coming to Christ. You have to be serious about coming to Christ. If you want to be a Christian, you've got to be serious. It's not just a decision you make on a Sunday when you walk down the aisle and give your hand to the pastor. It's a decision that you have to make in your heart that says, I'm making a life-changing decision. I'm making a decision that's going to transform my life going forward. So having a good and a noble heart. But then second, digging deeper means a willingness to hold on to the word of God. So that means you have to work at it. You have to be willing to give the word of God sown in your heart priority. You have to say, this is what I have to do to hold on to my faith. This is what I have to do to maintain my relationship with God. This is what I have to do to make sure that my faith doesn't die. And here again is where the church is so important, and where the ministry of the church is so important. Part of our mission is to teach people about faith, to lead them to faith by telling them the story of the gospel, by telling them about Jesus Christ. But once people come to faith, the other part of our mission is to nurture them in the faith, to give them the equipment, to give them the tools to hold on to that faith. One of those tools is Bible study. That's why Sunday school is important. That's why discipleship training is important. That's why Bible study is important. That's why getting into the word is important. And when we're in those classes, that is not the time for current events. That is not the time for jokes and laughing. That is the time to seriously dig into God's word, to understand what the word says, and to let that word seep deep into our heart. So there must be a willingness to hold on to the Word of God. The third thing about digging deeper that we learn is allowing the Word to take root, spending enough time with the Word sown in our hearts until it takes root. And those of you who have green thumbs know all about this. When you're planting plants, the plants don't grow on the first day. They start the growth process, but it takes time. You have to water the plants. You have to trim the plants. The plants need sunlight. And day after day, after the attention that you give to the plants, you notice that the plants begin to grow. And it takes time. It takes days. It takes weeks for the plants to grow, and sometimes months for them to grow into mature plants. The same thing is true about our relationship with God. You don't grow to maturity on the first day you become a Christian. You grow to maturity each day by giving attention to your life, giving attention to your faith, giving attention to the Spirit of God by praying each day, by reading the Word each day, by fellowshipping with the saints each day, by trying to live out your faith each day. It's a day by day, week by week process, and it's a lifelong process. All of us know as Christians that we never get to the point where we're finished with our growth or finished with our work. We're always working on our faith. We're always working on our relationship with God, and that work is allowing the Word to take root, allowing those roots to go deep into the soil. Sometimes roots have to go so deep until they reach the bedrock and wrap around that bedrock. And when the roots wrap around that bedrock, it doesn't matter what happens above the soil. The wind can blow, the storm can come, and it will be difficult for the wind and the storm to uproot the plant and uproot our lives. And then finally, digging deep means perseverance. It means digging deep over time. So if, ultimately, you just got to hang in there, beloved. You've got to do what you need to do every day. My son and I were talking about some of the goals that he had with his job and his career and everything. And he said, you know, I sometimes become impatient and want everything right now. And I said, yes, you can't do that. I said, you still have to go to work every day. You have to work hard, and eventually things will turn out better. And he said to me, so Dad, that means I have to show up. And I said, that's exactly right. You got to show up every day. You got to show up every week. You got to show up every month. You got to show up. And the more you show up, the days will pass, the weeks will pass, the months will pass, and the time will pass. And before you know it, you have achieved your goal. And that's the same thing that the text is teaching about perseverance. Perseverance means Christians show up. And that doesn't mean that Christians don't struggle, that things aren't hard, but you show up every day, you show up every month, you show up and continue to show up and persevere until you reach and achieve your goal. So, beloved, dig deeper. And I know you've been digging, many of you, for a long time, and I know it's difficult during this pandemic, but show up each day, dig deeper, and let the Word of God continue to transform your life. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you for the parable of the sower and the interpretation. Thank you for reminding us of the various ways people receive the word. Thank you for helping us to remember that the realities of life are there no matter who we are, but we have to work on our relationship with you. We have to cultivate our faith, and we have to dig deep, and we have to dig deep for the long haul. So bless the members of Ebenezer. Bless our friends online. Bless all those who are listening to this Bible study. And bless us and give us the grace, O God, to dig deeper. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, beloved. This is Wednesday, September the 9th, with our podcast.